Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bhante, greetings from San Francisco. Greetings to our listeners. It's been a while since we had, a continuous stream of podcast episodes. So apologies for that, just schedules, etc. But we are back on track and just hope to keep it, regular and smooth from here. What's been happening at your end, Bhante?
Not much, Rohit. Obviously, one of the things we've been doing is following quite a lot of the World Cup. So cricket has been center stage this summer. Hmm. And I know last time when we, I think the episode before that with Rahul, you did an episode on cricket, which is really nice. I listened to it, and it was really good. And I was thinking maybe just to slip into the groove, just let's pick up on a quick one from there. Mm. Maybe talk about commentary. Is that something we should pick up?
Yeah, we absolutely should. And I'm going to apologize in advance if I repeat some things, which, in the context of cricket discussions, you said before. Yeah, someone just commented on Twitter today that Harsha Bhogle is one of my pet peeves. And, we had done a discussion on Bhogle and some other people. So, yeah, I mean, I'll leave it to you. Let's go with commentary and what are your, how would you open your innings in talking about commentary?
Okay, look, I think you've picked up a couple of comments about Harsha Bhogle. I think there are two schools of commentary in India. One is the commentary style is one of a management school graduate interview, right? And hear me out. What I mean by this is what they'll say is like, it's like a very Johnny Goodboy type commentary, right? Mm-hmm. So the jokes are very forced. Mm. There's repeated reference to arcane statistical points, right? Like, actually, Madan Lal was 47.2 overs when the run rate was 3.20. Mm-hmm. Today, when Roger Beany was bowling, he was like 7.11 and the speed was 83. So, like, a lot of arcane statistics buzzy would go on. Mm. But generally, there's a lack of flair. And when they try, commentators try to induce flair, there are two people who could do it very well. Henry Blofeld was one, right? Mm-hmm. What he could do was in the middle of commentary, he would pick on arbitrary things and talk about it. Hmm. When I've tried to see when Harsha Bhogle or Sanjay Manjrekar or some of the other commentators try and do it, Ravi Shastri, Saurav Ganguly, there is some lowness that creeps in, right? So if you're looking at pigeons or, if you say something about somebody's sari, there is some kind of lowness that creeps in. So my first observation is, it's too goody-goody and there isn't flair. Mm. There isn't a flair. You can't get people to listen to it for a long time. That's my take on it. What's yours?
A number of things. I mean, I agree with you. I think with Harsha Bhogle, it's like, everything just seems very forced. He's obviously from a particular, class of Indians, who privileged elites who speak in a particular accent, but I find his whole, he will giggle pointlessly about, it's so hot. Oh, that was remarkable. It's just very irritating. So it comes across as...
Just jumping in, don't you think he's like a cut-price Jeeves and Wooster routine? Like,
exactly.
You can see that his prime audience is South Indian uncles from the 1930s who kind of fed on like Jeeves and Wooster. Yeah. And their idea of humor is tee-hee-hee.
I'm completely irrational about him, so a lot of people might get annoyed at this, and I apologize for that if there are any diehard like Harsha Bhogle fans. I know that Rahul is with whom I had the conversation is much more sort of positively inclined towards Harsha Bhogle, but yes, I just doesn't come naturally, and I think it's because these guys grew up listening to a whole bunch of other commentators. They're trying to imitate, in my view, Western commentators. Now, commentary in Hindi and all is a whole different ballgame. I haven't heard much of it in a very long time. Some of it, I'm sure, is very good. I just remember, this lazy kind of Doordarshan or All India Radio commentators. And the only thing that stuck in my mind is that, there was one guy who kept calling Roger Beany, Rogers Beany. So, Now, and you know, if you think of it as a verb, it just opens, you know, a whole other like can of worms. But again, it's this lack of naturalness. What you're calling a lack of flair, I would lack of naturalness. And you know, when you listen to Nasir Hussain and Atherton, they're fantastic. I mean, why can't we have commentators like that?
Well, even if you look at like Michael Holding, the idea of using silence to your advantage is something that's unknown to our commentators. Like the fact that just because you've got the microphone doesn't mean that you have to keep saying things.
It's an anxiety, and I think it's that anxiety that comes from Harsha. Harsha Bhogle has that anxiety that मुझे कुछ ना कुछ बोलना है. Like
Harsha Bhogle,
grass is green, sky is blue, auntie is sitting, water is running, horse is jumping. Something you have to say.
And the thing is, he comes across as a guy who's kind of in a job interview or an MBA school interview where he has to keep speaking and be like a performing monkey. I'll tell you, I think Sunil Gavaskar's commentary has evolved and I like listening to, though I haven't seen him on television or radio quite a lot. I'll be partial to Ganguly, but Ganguly, everything he sees is a big political movement. Right. So Ganguly's got this kind of sneaky peeky Bengali vibe about him. Where everything, that the fact that a spinner's been left out for underperformance actually goes back to the late 1980s when he was having pakoda with his mummy. And at that point some mega thing happened. So Ganguly always tries to go for a meta analysis. Yeah. Right? Who are the other guys here? I think the Pakistani commentators, there are two people in the country who can speak English without sounding like awkward. Wasim Bhai and Ramiz Bhai, right? Hmm. They are an awkward double act because, you know, Ramiz desperately tries to give the idea of being an impartial commentator.
Hmm.
And, you know, deep down, he's very Allahu Akbar. Every opportunity he gets, he wants to kind of ram home Pakistani advantage. Hmm. So he's been slightly out of sorts. Who else? Wasim Akram, I don't know.
With Akram, I remember, he's again well-informed about the game. There's something I remember that I was very gross. Wasim Akram and Ravi Shastri, they had this thing called the Shaz and Vaz show. This was, I forget the time period, but what they would do is, during a drinks break in a one-day international match or during, you know, the innings break, the camera would pan on to different women and they would, you know, judge the women by their alleged attractiveness, and the whole thing was just like sleazy, kind of voyeuristic. It's a kind of visual sexual harassment. So it was just very, very poor taste. And you know,
I didn't know that this existed.
It was really, I mean, you can just Google it. It was called the Shaz and Vaz show. And you know, I'm not saying that had this happened in the 70s, it would have been more acceptable. It would have been gross at any point of time. You know, it would have been gross at any point of time, but this is in generally a relatively post-enlightenment era. You know, and I've Googled it. There's something on 2013. I mean, this is a terrible article by someone called Bhupesh Bhandari. I don't know, sorry Bhupesh, but this isn't one of your best pieces. It's from 2013, a Shaz and Vaz show, and it says that Mandira Bedi started it, but this duo, that's Shastri and Wasim Akram, they were responsible for the sexing up of cricket. and, you know, I don't know what it is. It's just...
Well, I'll tell you something. You raise an interesting point. In England, I listen to Test Match Special, right? And it's by and large the soundtrack of summer, right? It doesn't matter which team is playing, you listen to it. And you listen to it because it evokes a particular time and space in your mind's eye, right?
Mm.
It is, to be fair, it is not cut price Jeeves and Wooster. They've kind of made it contemporary, but it's kind of secondary public school tryhards, you know, trying to give the idea of, you know, that all's well with the world and brown people can play cricket. So, but I think one of the things that it does is it signals kind of there's a whiff of kind of a better time that this commentary box was in, where everything that England did was glorious and all the other countries couldn't do anything, right?
Mm.
So that's the kind of setup of Test Match Special, right? It's changing a little bit. They've kind of brought women in. They've brought in Isha Guha commentators there. And I really, really want, because India is such a powerful cricketing culture, that we have some kind of a comment. I remember Kishore Bhimani when in the early days, I don't think he was good enough to kind of create a commentary culture. But phrases like Manohar Gali, Gabab, this is not Kishore Kumar, there are other voices there. Mm-hmm. I have vivid recollections that, you know, commentary was an art form and it would evoke a time and a space.
I'm
saying is that is missing, Rohit, in modern day commentary.
No, I completely agree with you. There was a person who, I don't think I heard him, but I remember someone describing his voice very well, and it was actually Anwar Ali Khan, I think, who had written a piece on him. Anwar Ali Khan was—he's a legendary figure in advertising, and you know, he gave me my break in Rediff, and you're the one who actually introduced me to the people at Rediff, where you know, and then I got that job. Just a bit of personal connection here. I think Anwar Ali Khan had written a piece about Jayasimha. Sorry, but there was this other commentator called FJS Tali Arkhan. I'm missing his name, but you know, he was apparently a very good commentator, and I remember someone describing his voice as sort of beer-soaked and nicotine-stained. And he was a legendary figure in Bombay. So, you know, we've had people like that, but I think the combination of someone who is well-informed about the game and a good speaker, it just in the Indian context seems to be a hard combination. Or I would just say in, you know, the subcontinental context, because frankly, like Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, India, 99% of the commentators from any of these countries in the World Cup, they've been really awful, in my view.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, we talked about commentary a little bit. The one final point on this commentary piece is, just in closing, Rohit, what is your view? What is the role of a commentator? Is it a glorified cheerleader, or is it a informed critique?
No, that's where I would say that, you know, I feel that Amitabh Bachchan and Virat Kohli piling on to Harsha Bhogle was completely atrocious. I mean, again, I'm not a fan of Harsha Bhogle, and I've been, you know, it's like, it's just an absurd, like, irrational, in part, you know, dislike.
Yeah. I don't hate
the guy or anything. It's also a question of personal, you know, preference and all of that.
Exactly.
But to pounce on him, and I also have felt, in a different way, that, you know, I feel that he was too eager to please his, like, he just crave some kind of approval from the from the Australians or the English, you know, the English cricketers, especially from former cricketers, as opposed to someone like him who's never played cricket. He just, you know, is a little too eager to agree. So I've had that, but to pounce on him because he's not encouraging the team, I mean, that's just stupid jingoistic nationalism. You know, I'm not saying I condone it in any way. You can at least understand occasionally that kind of stupidity coming from like a player who gets, you know, worked up. But this Amitabh Bachchan, you know, he's just an old, irrelevant coot who just is trying to create controversies to stay relevant in the same pathetic way that he, you know, harangues younger actors on Twitter saying that, oh, I wished you for your birthday, you didn't respond, etc. So that was it. So a commentator, you have to be, you know, you have to be someone, I mean, you can have your likes and dislikes. You can be happy that India, if you're an Indian, is winning, or Pakistan or Sri Lanka or England, whichever country you're from, is winning. But you have to be able to, in some ways, comment on the game dispassionately. You have to focus on the facts. If there is, you know, whether it's a member of your team or not, if you did feel a decision was a poor decision, you make that point. And I think in some ways, for me, it's about, you know, illuminate the game in a way that a layperson would not be able to. Or even an expert. Even an expert.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
so what you're saying is it's an informed critique. Not a cheerleader. That's your point.
My
point would be that this is absolutely right. There's been some controversy recently, you know, Twitter exchanges between players. I think Indian cricketers are treated like gods. We are guilty of this ourselves, Rohit. We see them, you know, above and beyond. And I think some of the commentators, whether they are, you know, ex-players, not players, etc., I think they shouldn't be cheerleaders. They should be kind of informed critics. Because, you know, in a nation of 1.3 billion, of whom 700 follow cricket avidly, everybody's a commentator. Right?
Everyone's an expert in India.
And what we need to do is have a handful of people who kind of create this sense of special space and time and give us a view that is not commonplace. So I hope the critical strain of commentary, rather than the fanboy strain of commentary, wins over. Very much in agreement with you. Chalo, we've talked about this for a while. Let's wrap this up and let's keep watching and keep listening to commentary.
Sounds good. All right. Take care, man.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.